Cutler earlier this morning, the life insurance doctor, and he's from Beechwood, Ohio. And as I mentioned just a little bit ago, we're going to be talking about the seven deadly mistakes that buyers make with their life insurance policies. Is there a hidden cash value to your policy? And is it true that 90% of life policies never last to maturity? Let's meet David Cutler right now. David, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, and I'll tell you, this is so interesting. I had to get you on the program for my radio audience, and I'll tell you truthfully, I've never heard something like this before.
I really appreciate you you getting me on, and you're right. Most people, advisors and clients, I mean, attorneys, CPAs, the whole gamut of people that are involved with insurance are really at a disadvantage.
Can you explain why?
Sure. You know, you talk about the seven deadly mistakes or the seven myths. Let me sort of, you know, take you through it, and I think that everybody would understand. What they don't understand is that when you get an insurance contract, it is a very dense packet of verbiage, of paper, with a lot of, you know, explanations and a lot of attempts to depict what's going to happen. But these are all what we call sort of adhesive type of contracts. You go to Avis and you say, well, I don't like the way the car contract reads. Okay, well, go down the road to Hertz. So buyers are buying something that the vast majority of the time they have no idea how it really operates. And let me give you some specifics. One is that your policy is guaranteed. Why should I worry about it? Well, there's very few policies that are really fully guaranteed. And I was talking with a very sharp CPA one time, and he was under this impression, it's guaranteed. Why do we have to review it? Why do we have to look at it? It's because there are so many moving pieces to an insurance policy. There are interest rate factors, which have to do with the crediting of the money that's in the policy. There are what we call mortality costs, which are annual changes in cost to actually buy the insurance. As people's age goes up, those costs go up every year. You have a lot of carriers that want to become more profitable, and they're allowed to, by law, change some of these costs without clients really being aware of them. And when people get this annual statement, which is like, it'd be like if you went to the doctor and said, I'd like to get a checkup, and he says, well, let me take your temperature, and he takes your temperature, he says, well, you're good. You know, would you feel like you had a complete checkup?
No. I get your point. I see. So what you're saying is that this happens, and there are people who are getting some of this insurance probably are just satisfied, don't check it out or anything.
They lose it. They don't get it. I mean, they borrow against it, and then they're in for a really unpleasant surprise. Because a lot of agents will tell them, don't worry, you put money in, and if you can't pay the premium down the road, they'll take the money out of your policy. You have some built-in money in there. Well, what most people don't realize, that money that that the company is taking out to pay themselves another premium, right, is considered a loan from the policy. And if somebody borrowed too much money, and then the policy lapses because there's not, you know, the money is the gasoline. It's the engine that makes the policy last. If the policy were to lapse and there was a loan in place, the insurance carrier is going to write a nasty letter to the IRS telling them that you defaulted on a loan to the insurance carrier, and the IRS is going to charge you an ordinary income tax on that forgiveness of loan.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's a shocker for, like, a lot of people. You know, sometimes people have hundreds of thousands of dollars in loans, and they lapse the policy, and they don't realize what the consequences are. So there, I think to try to put it as succinctly as possible, there are so many different aspects to a policy that require, if you want to be prudent, to have those policies checked at least every couple years. And when I say check by an expert. Not check, give me the one piece of paper that says, here's what my temperature is, but run a series of what we call in-force ledgers or illustrations showing different scenarios. What happens if I pay this? What if I do this? How much do I have to pay if I want the policy to last till a certain age? And be able to review those things to avoid 90% of policies not lasting to maturity.
90%. Wow.
Yeah, I ask people guess how many policies, and they go, I don't know, 10%, 20%. Oh, you mean term policies? No, I mean all policies altogether, the entire gamut. There's a very small percentage that last because they're not being checked properly, they're not being monitored properly, and here's sort of like the salt in the wound, is that people, for the most part, don't realize that they have an option. Let's say that, the estate tax law has changed pretty dramatically over the last 15 years. It used to be where you could transfer $2 million tax-free to your heirs. And a lot of people bought insurance, those people that maybe had estates that was going to be more than $2 million, because insurance is an extremely, and I'm a believer, insurance is an extremely effective way to pay the taxes. Well, the current transfer laws allow you to transfer $24 million for a couple to their heirs, and that amount is growing. And so, you know, there's a very small percentage of families that have that kind of wealth. So you find a lot of people that have bought policies for a purpose, and now they don't maybe feel they need them, and they either let them lapse or they turn them into the insurance carrier. There's $22 trillion a year of policies lapsed or surrendered that could be sold to third parties for millions of dollars.
David, I'll tell you something right now. I had read about some of this stuff, and that's the reason that I wanted to do a feature on my program here. And it's hard to believe, but you double-check this stuff, and it's all true.
It is. It is. And you're in a big insurance area there.
Huge. Huge.
Yeah.
Not as big as it used to be, but it's still pretty big. But, and you know, I'll tell you, I'm concerned about people, and I'm sure some of them are hearing this for the first time. But if you read some of this stuff, you know, you say, wait a minute now. What is that going to do to my insurance policy? I just assume everything is okay. But again, what was the one thing that turns you on like it did, David?
Well, I mean, Brad, I like to try to be a problem solver. You know, like that's my why. Why do I? You know, why do what makes me passionate about what I do? And I want to help people. I want to help them if they want to be more philanthropic. I want to help them. Listen, people are living longer, and, you know, medical expenses keep increasing.
That's right.
And we need to see waste. You know, there's just so much waste. If you look at the cities, the major cities in the country, who's got the biggest buildings in New York City? Who's got the biggest buildings in Boston? Who's got the biggest buildings in San Francisco? The insurance companies. You know, if you had a product that people were paying year after year, month after month, and they're not collecting on it at the end, that's a pretty profitable business, wouldn't you say?
I would say so.
Yeah. So, you know, my thing is let's try to help the consumers that are out there find the true value in their policies and not waste them and use them. There's so many good things that you could use the money for better than having it just go to waste. Better than having it enrich the insurance carriers that, yeah, that's their business.
Well, David, I'm glad that I called you. Glad that I saw some of this information, and I just said, well, we'll see if it's, you know, true or not. And I checked it out a couple of other places too, and that's why I called you, Dave. And we will talk again.
I would love to. I appreciate the opportunity, and all I can leave your listeners with is, you know, please find somebody that can check their policies. That's the first step.
Okay. David Kotler, life insurance doctor, they call him, from Beechwood, Ohio. We'll talk again. Thank you so much for being with me this morning.
Thank you, Brad. Have a great day.
You bet.